Okay, let's begin. We're up to Ezra, Perek Tes, Pasuk Hey. Uvmincha Sa'erev. Ezra is reacting to the report that there's large scale intermarriage. To recap from what we discussed yesterday, at the very end of the essay share, we mentioned there's an Ezra over here. If you need, there's some extra volumes here. The big question is when did this event occur? Did this occur shortly after Ezra arrived in Eretz Yisrael, which would appear to be so, as it's mentioned in Sefer Nechemiah, that this seemingly took place on the 17th day of Kislev. They arrived in Eretz Yisrael on the first day of Chodesh Av, a few months later, beginning of the winter, on the 17th day of Kislev. It appears this is when this event occurred. A few months later, and that's what the pasuk means in the beginning of the parak, Uchechalois Eile. After these things were concluded, we arrived in Chodesh Av. It took us a few days to settle. It took a few weeks to give over, make an accounting of all the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and then give over the donations that we collected to the custodians of the Beis HaMikdash. And by the time we got around to the 17th day of Kislev, then everything was settled, and I was approached by the leaders, and they told me, we got a problem, we have here an epidemic, intermarriage. But Rav Schwab discusses, he mentions another approach, that this did not take place that year when Ezra arrived. This event took place many years later, because it's not likely that Ezra was unaware. If there really was intermarriage, it's not likely that Ezra, who was on top of the situation, would be unaware of what was of intermarriage. How could it possibly be? He very carefully analyzed all the people, traced their lineage, all the 1,700 people who ascended with him to Eretz Yisrael. He knew who was in Eretz Yisrael, who was not. How could it be that he was not aware of what was taking place? So therefore, they want to suggest that it takes taking place many years later. How many years is many? I don't know. 10, 20, 30. After Ezra already settled down, he was semi-retired, and he was out of public scene, and slowly people began to backslide to their old ways of being influenced by the nations of the world. They intermarried, and now Ezra was told what has happened, and he reacted in a very disturbed, was extremely disturbed, was nishtoimim. He ripped his clothing, his inner garments, his outer garments, he pulled out hair from his head, he sat on the floor, he could not even utter one word, and this went until the afternoon. Pasuk Hey, Vminchas Erev, Kamti Mita Anisi, I stood up from my fasting, Uvik Kor Ivigdi Umi Ili. Now it's not clear what this means. There are different approaches to these three words. Some want to suggest that Ezra, when he stood up, he ripped his clothing again. In other words, the grief, you know, that's a cycle in life when a person thinks that they've overcome grief, and now they can go on with their life, and they make their first attempt to go back into the world, they are all of a sudden, they collapse once again. So that's how the Das Mikra presents an opinion. That's really what it means here. Minchas Erev, I can't meet Hanisi. I was fasting the entire day. Right, exactly, right. So he repeated. He stood up from his fasting. He thought now he can compose himself and put himself out and deal with the situation. No. Uvikari Vigdi Umi Ili. Once again, I ripped my clothing, my inner garments, my outer garments, out of shock of what I was told. Other Mefarshim says simply, no, this word, Uvikari Vigdi Umili, is a continuation of Kamti. I arose from my fasting and from my ripped clothing. In other words, I took it off. It was now the afternoon. The entire day I was in shock. Now it was time to take action. I cannot present myself to the tzibur in torn clothing. So I ate something. I stood up from my fasting and I put on new clothing. I composed myself from my previous state. And what did I do? Ve'echra'a al birkai. I bowed down on my knees. Ve'efrisa chapai el Hashem elokai. And I extended my hands to Hashem my God. In ancient times, this was the tzurah of tefillah. You get down on your knees. You're on your knees and you raise your hands to the sky. If you ever saw anything on the screen, you know that this is how they do it in the church. And it comes from, obviously, everything comes from Tanakh. we don't do this anymore. Chazal, the Gemara already says to us that we don't do this anymore. It's not the tzur of tefillah because it's been adopted by the goyim, and it's chukos fa'amim. And that's a very interesting idea. That thing, even though everything comes from us, there are certain things which the goyim have taken, and for whatever reason, it's not clear why. When we apply this rule, when we do not apply this rule, we no longer do this because this is the way they do. The class, probably the most classic example is in the Torah of mizbech avonim, that you're not allowed to have a mizbech made from one stone, even though Avram Avinu made a mizbech. Now Yaakov Avinu made a mizbech from one. He took 12 stones and they all became one, and he poured shemen. And even hazos asher samti matzeva yia beis elukim, we no longer offer korbanos on a single stone, but rather we make it from many stones, a mizbech avonim, because the goyim, the non-Jews, this became their practice. When they offered sacrifices to the gods, they would offer it upon a single stone, even though it was ohov b'mei avos, it became son, it was hated by Kadosh Baruch Hu, because this was the practice of the non-Jews, and therefore we no longer follow in, we no longer do this. Well, you don't raise it up. All right, open. There's a minute to open your hands. Correct. Even when you say umilfonecha malkenu reikam al tishivenu, so the minute to open up your hands, but you don't raise it. You can keep your hands open, low down, not raised above your shoulders. Okay, but clearly, there's no question. This is the tzura of tefillah, to spread your hands to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your knees. Again, we don't do because this is the way the Gemara. Let's do a few pesukim. We'll do the Rashi's together. Pasuk vavu oimer, and I said, now, yeah. Because the goyim do it. Okay, that's interesting. And the truth is, the real minig is not flowers. The real minig is grass, branches, grass, leaves and branches. Flowers, I don't know how that came to be. I guess the medrash that the Har Sinai was beautified with greenery. The reason why we really put trees is because it's a Yom HaDin for Peros. And Shavuos, there's a judgment. The Peros HaOlam are subject to Mishpat. So we bring the tree, the Father. We bring the Father on Tu B'Shvat. It's a Yom HaDin for the tree. So we eat the fruit. Whenever the child is being judged, then the parents come to serve as a schus. When the parents are being judged, the children come as a schus. So on Tu B'Shvat, it's Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanos. The trees need schusim. So how do we bring a schus for the tree, for the parent? The fruit, the children. We eat fruit. On Shavuos, it's Yom Hadin Le'peros Le'ilan. So the judgment, we bring a zuchus for the fruit, the parents come, the trees come to shul, but not flowers. Flowers appears to be different minhag, right? So the amim, they do this in their churches, they bring flowers, and so therefore we don't do this anymore. But this is something very important idea. It's when the mitzvah become that begins, correct? It's another, you know, fruit. So in order to be more the schus for the fruit, you always have to. You can't save yourself. Ein chovush mater atz meimi beisros. You always need the schus of someone else to serve as your advocate, and that's why we're always looking for something different. Okay, but this is an important pasuk hey, to bring out this point is that this is the true surah of tefillah. On your knees, your hands extended. We do not do it today because this became was adopted by the non-Jews, and it's now not accepted. Pasuk Vav.
One of the very common things that people object to, and along these lines, is to make the chuppah in the shul because that's been adopted.
The chukas ha'amin, right? Some they go and get married in the church, so we with Afka do not get married. So there are two issues. First of all, a shul is a holy place. A wedding is not necessarily a kim hamitzvah in its fullest sense. It's hard to believe, even though it's the greatest mitzvah, pru revu, but the mitzvah is having children. The wedding is only a hechsher mitzvah. So it's not something which belongs in a base HaKnesses. That's one objection. The other objection is that the goyim are makbid to get married in the sanctuary, and therefore we should not do it. That's why many have the minog where the chas and kalah. Most of the weddings that we go to today, the chas and kalah face the oilam. right? That's very common today. You go to a wedding, and the chasen and kala are facing the tzibur. Their backs are towards the wall. They're facing the tzibur, and they're facing the mesar de kedushin. Who? Right. So, and even besides the yekis, years ago, what I was told before my time, even among it was very common among Ashkenazim that the chasen kala did not face the oilam. They used to face forward, face the wall, and the Mesader Kedushin, who like, you know, Lahavdil, Elif Alfilak, like the priest who's doing the service, is facing the Oilam, and the Chasen Kala are facing them. In shuls, it's interesting though, in shuls today, when you do go to a wedding in a shul, which is not so uncommon, even though generally the Chasen Kala face the Oilam in a hall, in a wedding hall, for some reason in the shul they like it where the Chasen Kala faces forward and the Ezrach and the Chasen, because I guess because the Kedush of the Aron Kodesh, they want to face the Aron Kodesh, and the Mesader Kedushin has his back to the Aron Kodesh and he faces the Oilam. So many object to that. There are many Gedolei Hador that are very strongly, because that's Mamish Chukos HaAmen. Because in the church, if you've all seen on the screen all of these, you have the priest, he stands with his back facing the group of people, and the Chasen Kala, they face forward. So if you combine a shul with the Chasen Kala facing Mizrach and the Mesader Kedushin facing the Oilam, that's Mamish Chukos HaAmen. So then there's a hakpada that's how it came about, this idea where it should be different. The Chasen Kala should face the Oilam and the Mesader Kedushin should have his back facing the Oilam. My father, Zichron Levech, once told me he went to a wedding. It was a rookie, a new Mesader Kedushin, a young guy that really did not know what he was doing. He had tzimicha. My father was shocked because it was a very secular set. There were people who are not very modern, extremely modern crowd. Not everyone there was 100% Shomer Shabbos, so he had to play the part and do what they expected. And he said, in the power invested in me, I hereby give Kedusha to the sanctity to this bond, this unity. And my father came back and he said to me, I don't even know if they're married. Al pi halacha, what he did is, and it was so shocked, because this is the person he felt should have known better. He comes from went to a yeshiva. He just thought it was such amaratis. How could he say such a thing? You can do whatever you want. Double ring ceremony. There are loopholes for everything.
Well, you're a wedding on that basis.
What, double ring ceremony? What?
No, about by the power vested in me. He said they, of course, it was a big shiloh what to do with her.
Yeah.
He said they were never married.
They were never married.
Of course, the investigation of the chuppah turned out to be along those lines.
Uh-huh.
They were somehow the rabbi marrying them.
Yeah.
So it's no marriage.
It's not a marriage. The Kedushin is the man is Mekadosh the Isha. You don't need a rabbi to sanction. The rabbi does nothing. He did give her a ring. Yeah, with Adim. But if the Kavana, if the Chassan is relying upon the rabbi, that him that giving the ring to the Kal is not really what makes the Kedushin. What makes the Kedushin is the rabbi's his sanctioning of this union. It's a kiddushei tos. The whole marriage is a mistake. The chosan doesn't will.
Even though it's a religious ceremony, we still have this.
Okay, it's very complicated.
The state is giving you a license, which is in a sense.
Rav Henkin, Rav Moshe, I'm sure they're not going to let this couple chas shalom separate without a get. That's for sure. But it's a very complicated. Once you start doing things that you're not supposed to, it's very easy. And the more you mingle, the more you ruin it. You can ruin. Fine. But the point over here is this. Something called Chukos HaAmin. This is a very good source. So you want to go into the sugya of Chukos HaAmin, something which is Ohov originally, and we don't do today for whatever reason. Even though what's so disturbing is it's explicit in Tanakh. Yeah, you know, there are many things in the halacha we don't do. Why don't we do it? Because Chazal came along and they made a gzir. They said, no, don't take the lulav and esrog on Shabbos. But the Torah says take the lulav and esrog. So how could the Chazal come along and say, don't do it? Sheva al taseh. Okay, so sheva al taseh, because the Torah never said to do it every single year, only said to do it generally. So once in a while, when it comes out on Shabbos, Chazal have a power to, but there are other examples, which I don't remember offhand, where Chazal, or there were times when Chazal wanted to prohibit things, and the answer is you cannot prohibit something which the Torah explicitly says is mutter. You can't do that. And there are different examples of I don't remember the examples. If the Torah explicitly says something is mutter, you have no right to come along and say that it's also because of a gezerah. And even not taking bull and estrog on Shabbos and not blowing shofar on Shabbos, that's also a very difficult concept because the Torah says you should do it.
That's what Rabbi Schwab says, since you're blowing shofar day number two, and since you're taking a lulav and estrog on
day number two,
and after that, so the idea is you don't forget it from one year to the next. So
but just chazal to come along.
That's why I'm blowing shofar on Yom Kippur, on if Yom Kippur comes on Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
You would blow.
You do.
Because you don't want it again.
You might go your whole life, another 50 years, and you'll never see shofar on Shabbos.
Very good. So you do see this concept. And what's so very disturbing is here we have an explicit pasuk in Ezra. Ezra is, and it's not exactly ancient history, Ezra. We're dealing over here at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. Ezra is getting down on his knees. He's raising his hands to Shemayim to be mispalel. And yet this practice, Bizman Hazeh, is forbidden. It's mamash forbidden to do this, Bizman Hazeh, because of Chukos Ha'amim, even though it's explicit in the Torah.
It was a unique situation here that he did it for.
So what? But it appears this was not a unique situation. He was frustrated. Now he's offering a very elaborate tefillah, which goes to the end of the parak. And this is just derech agav. This is the tzura of tefillah. On your knees with your hands raised to heaven. And yet, al pi halacha, you're not allowed to do this to him. Now let's see the words of his tefillah. This part of the tefillah we incorporated into our nusach on slichos, the remainder of the tefillah, the remainder of the parak. The oimra, and I said, Elokai, my God, boshti v'nichlamti l'harim Elokai ponai alecha. Two expressions of shame, boshes and chlima. Now, I'm not exactly sure the nuances of different types of bosh. Maybe we'll see in the farshim as we go through it, but I am ashamed to lift up my head, laharim, to lift up Elokai, ponai to my God, my face, elecha, to you, ki avonoseinu ravu l'mala rosh, our sins, these are very poetic expressions, our sins have multiplied above our head, we're drowning, v'ashmoseinu, our guilt, godla, is so great, it reaches adla shamayim, reaches until the very heavens. Very poetic. It's not your typical tefillah that you have in Tanakh. Let's see. There's some of the Rashi's right away. Let's see. Pasuk Hey, Rashi. Rashi mita anisi shloachalti osayom. I did not fast. I did not eat that day. I was after I was told in the morning of what is taking place into marriage, and I was shocked for the remainder of the day. As we mentioned yesterday, this was not a fast that was prepared for that. It was not a halachic fast, because in order for it to be a halachic fast, it must either be a tainis tzibur. If an individual wants to fast, he must accept upon his fast the day before. Clearly, Ezra did not accept upon his fast the day before, so he did not get credit here for fasting on this day. Person, let's say he has a neder. I make a neder, I'm going to fast 10 days a year. Because of a certain sin that I've committed, I want to do tshuva, so 10 days a year I'm going to fast. Have you fulfilled your obligation by this fast that Ezra has? No. Because this was spontaneous. It could have very even well been that he ate breakfast on this day. Because he was told later in the day what has taken place, and for the remainder of the day he fasted. Okay, next pasuk. There is no Rashi. Let's see the Mitzudos and pasuk. Pasuk Hey. Kamti mitanisi vatzulaymar. Kamti meuna v'cholash. I stood up afflicted and weak. Mitanisi shleichalti kolos hayom. I did the entire day. Uvikora uvikriyas habgadim. And I stood up through the ripping of the clothing. So according to the Mitzudos, it does not mean that he ripped his clothing again. Other Mepharshim say that, but it means here that I stood up in order to make an impression upon the Tzibur. I wanted to daven. The prayer he's about to do is a public prayer. He's coming now to arouse the Tzibur to do tshuva and to divorce themselves from their non-Jewish wives. And everyone should do tshuva. So to make an impression upon them, it was shock and awe. I stood up in a state of weakness. Everyone saw that I was tired and I was shocked, and my clothing were ripped. And all of this was uvichdei le'oirer halavavos, to arouse the hearts. Kam kishumu'unu v'lovish begadim kurim v'chor al birkav. See, people think today we appreciate this, but some people discount the effect of public of you know. The impression you give, the way you're dressed, and your conduct with the tzibur is critical. If you're just going to write a letter and send, put a kol kari, put a sign out and send the, put an advertisement in the newspapers, the effect is not that great. But if you appear in a state of being distraught, and your clothing are ripped, and you get up in front of your community, in front of your tzibur, that's already in a whole different league. Next words of the mitzudos, I spread out my hands, v'efersa eskapai, keilu derech shoyel hachesed. That's the derech to daven, you extend your hands to heaven. Okay, pasuk vav in the mitzudos laharim. I am ashamed to lift up hu hipuch. This we have to read the words. Hipuch always means that the inverted the words shall not be translated in order. It doesn't make sense. Kimo laharim panai elecha elokai. If you read the words in order, something that doesn't fit. You have to read v'omer elokai boshti. I'm ashamed. V'nichlamti laharim panai. So skip the word elokai to lift up my face. Elecha to you, Elokai, my God. That's how this pasuk has to be read. Typical for psukim, especially when we learn Yeshaya. Almost every pasuk in Yeshaya, you have to read the pasuk, the words in the pasuk out of order. We always mention this: is that Lashon Kodesh is not like English. English, everything has to be in order. Everything has to be perfectly in order, but not in Hebrew. In Hebrew, your pasuk is meant to take all the words, and you, it's a puzzle, you put it together to make sense of the pasuk. Rabu, Nishrabu, Va'ol, Lamalam, and Harosh, and has extended higher than the head. Okay, let's go. Now, by the way, we have over here these expressions of shame. We learned last week in the last week's parasha, is that Boshes is synonymous with Yirah Shamayim. A person who has a simon for Yirah Shamayim is Boshes. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, Moshe Rabbeinu, I forgot the pasuk in last week's parasha, Parashas Yisro, Bavur Tia Yirosei Al Panechem Levilti Sechet Tohu. Hashem said, it's very good. When Klal Yisrael heard the first two dibros, they told Moshe, Ad Kan, we cannot listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anymore. We're going to die. It is too terrifying to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak directly to us. You go, Moshe Rabbeinu, and you be our intermediary. Because if Hashem continues to speak to us, we're not going to survive. So Moshe was very disturbed that here you have an opportunity to hear HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak to you, and you're giving up this opportunity. Moshe went to Hashem and he bitterly complained, I have failed as a leader of the Jewish people. Here I'm trying to bring the Jewish people close to you, to listen to you directly, and they don't want. So Hashem said, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. It shows they have boshes panim. Bavur tia yirosoi al panechem. There shall be fear, yira. It's a very unusual expression. Yiroso, the fear of Hashem al panechem, upon your face. Levilti, so that you do not sin. And Rashi on that pasuk explains what does it mean. Yiroso, fear al panechem. This zo boshes panim. Shame. Person, when a person is ashamed, you can see it in their face, you can see it in their eyes, you can see their body language. And so Boshes Panim is synonymous with Yirosoi Al Panechem. So here, when Ezra says to Hashem, Boshri v'nechlamti lohodim elokai panai elecha, I am ashamed to lift up my face, this means it's an expression of Yirah Shamayim. He's teaching Klal Yisrael, this is what we should be, just like I'm ashamed. I hear this intermarriage. Look what's happening over here. You know why there's intermarriage? Because there's no Yirah Shamayim.
So embarrassment would be for other people as opposed to Boshes, which would be more like for Hashem.
It's both. It goes hand in hand. A person that has a sensitivity to of Yirah Shamayim, it comes out man against man, and man against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's contagious. The whole nida of Boshes of Yirah Shamayim comes out in many different forms. He's making a hidden statement. Do you know why this happens here? There is no Yirah Shamayim. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Zayin. Nimei Avasir Nachdu Bashma Gedoyla. From the days of our forefathers, we are in this great guilt. Ar Hayom Azeh. Until today. Now he's referring to, okay, let's read the whole post, and we'll see what he's really alluding to the time of, from going back from the time of the Egel Let's just read until this day, from the days of our fathers, uve avanoseinu nitanu anachnu, and due to our sins nitanu, we have been delivered. We have suffered. Jews have always suffered. Anachnu us milochenu, our kings, chohanenu, our priests, biyad malchei harotzos, we have been given over for suffering to the kings of the other nations. Bacherev, we have been murdered. Bashvi, we have been taken captive. Uvabiza, we've been plundered. Our property has been stolen from us. Uvivoshes ponim, and shame. This is not Yerushalayim. This is another expression of Jewish suffering. Jews are humiliated. Jews are always looked down as you are the lowest class in society. We are embarrassed to walk in the street, to walk around as Jews among the nations of the world. And like this day, even though here Ezra, he is coming to terms with reality. Ezra planned, he wanted so much that this Aliyah, this ascent, would usher in the coming of Mashiach. And now he sees Mashiach's not coming so fast. The second wave of Aliyah to build the Bayis Sheni is not going to bring Mashiach. It's k'hayom hazeh. Nothing has changed. Just like in the past, we were lowly nation, boshes panim, and we've been given over cherev shiva biza. Nothing has changed. That's the way we are now. K'hayom hazeh, on this day. And Mashiach is far from coming. Let's see Rashi and the Mitzvah Sayin. Ni tanu, we have been delivered. Kumo nisonanu. Okay, there are two nuns. Ni tanu, there's a missing nun. And the missing nun is replaced. Dogesh hanun tachas chisern hanun acheres. That the nun, ni tanu, there shall be a dogesh. Now my printing, there is no dogesh in the nun. There is no dad in the nun. There's a equivalent, okay, but Rashi seems to have a tradition that there should be another dot in the nun. Nitanu, kumo nisonanu, dogesh hanun tachas, a dogesh, a dot in the nun, according to the rules of grammar, it's as if the word is repeated, the nun is repeated twice. Tachas chisaron, in place of nun acheres, kumo kiolecho noshanu, so there the word upon you we rely, and there's supposed to be a dogish in the word noshanu, kumo nishananu. It's as if it says the proper way of expressing this would be we have relied upon you. The nu really refers to we, but it's also part of the sharish of to rely. Vinosanu es vinosenu kumo vinosananu, we have given over our daughters. Kayom hazeh kumo shnir hayom hazeh shekvar golu aseres hashvatim. So he's coming to explain, look what's happened here. It's already now the kibbutz golios and the aseres hashvatim v'yadai nishar b'vavol harbim in hagoylim. Nothing has changed. The aseres hashvatim are still dispersed. They have not returned, and we are in a state of suffering. Four. How many expressions we have over here? Cherev, shvi, biza, boshes upon him. Four different expressions of suffering. Let's see the mesudas pasuk zayin kayem hazeh kasher nire hayem asher b'nei aseres hashvatim heimo begalus v'af b'nei Yehuda v'yamid. So both Rashi and the Mitzudos are focusing that the disgrace that Klal Yisrael suffers is Golos. That is the ultimate Boshes Panim. The ultimate Boshes Panim is that we are not living in our own land. We are immigrants. We are not residents. We are gerim in another man's land. If you don't have your own homeland, that is the ultimate disgrace to a nation. And here, Klal Yisrael, they return. The vast majority is still living galus. Pasuk ches. V'ato now kimat rega hoyisa techina. We were zochet to kimat rega for a fleeting moment. A fleeting moment. Hoyisa techina. There was techina. There was. Chen, Chena is grace. HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed favor, Me'es Hashem Elokeinu, Lehashir Lanu Pleita, to leave over for us a remnant, V'loseis Lanu Yoseid Bimkom Kodesho, a peg in His holy
permanency.
Yoseid, but you say that there is some hidden message in the word Yoseid. Yoseid is a word that's used for a tent. A tent is not a permanent structure. A permanent structure is a binyan, and then it would say a yesod, a foundation. So here he's coming to allude, Ezra, that the Beis HaMikdash that's being rebuilt now is very weak. It's feeble. It can be destroyed. We learned when Dayavash gave permission for the Jewish people to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, we discussed that he instructed that there be wood added into every few rows, and the Mepharshim explain because the wood would burn, and if you would want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, it would be very easy. Just torch those rows of wood in between the stone, and the entire structure would collapse. Like he built in a
fire hazard.
A default is a certain term, like you want to, so you build a computer, a back door, or you build a escape clause. All these different, people, programmers, when they design a system, so if they're spies, you design a system for the government, so if you're a spy for another government, so when you design the system, you have a back door to get into the system and to...
A loophole,
exactly. So it was the Mikdash, Ezra here, in this prayer, it's very interesting that he's totally shifting gears. Everything until now, in Perikhes, he had a great vision, a great plan for Klal Yisrael. And now he just collapses. And he says there's no hope. And he keeps on throwing in these little hints that, there's no hope. Ki hayoyim hazeh, look what's going on, and no one came with me. I'm here all alone, just a few people came with me. This Mikdash is nothing more than a yosed, a peg for a tent. What's a tent? Blows in the wind. It's not a real structure, the Beis HaMikdash. What? Yeah. That's really what it's worth showing here. And he says, Kimat Rega, the degree of grace and chen that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bestowing upon Klal Yisrael, this is not, it's not sustainable. It's Kimat Rega, it's a fleeting moment. There was grace. He left over Pleita. Pleita is just a word which means just a remnant. This is not Klal Yisrael, just a few souls. And Chayisat Velosis Lano Yosef Bimkom Kadoshot gives us a peg in this holy place. Lo Ha'ir Einenu Elokeinu. Hakadosh Baruch Hu enlightened us. You were kind to us to enlighten our eyes. Ulisitenu Michya Me'at Be'avdu Seinu, and to give us a little life in our servitude. Avdu Seinu, we're slaves. What are we? We're slaves to the nations of the world. That's what has become of us. You were kind to us. You gave us a little life, a little chizuk to wake up from our servitude to come here to the Beis HaMikdash to align us to build a little tent for you here. That's what you've done for us. Pasuk test. Ki avodu v'anachnu. Now he elaborates. Why? Because avodu v'anachnu. What are we? We're nothing more than slaves. Uve'avdu seinu. But we acknowledge that in our servitude, Lo Yazavanu Elokeinu Hashem did not abandon us. Vayat Oleinu Chesed, he turned. He influenced kindness. Lifnei Malchei Faras, before the king of Paras, Daryavesh, Lase Slanu Michya, to give us some life, L'Roimemes Beis Elokeinu, to elevate our Beis HaMikdash, L'Hamid Es Chor Voisov, and to restore our ruins, V'Lase Slanu Goder B'Yehudu V'Yishlam, and to build a Goder, a fence, some type of protection, some type of autonomy, some enclosure in Yehuda and Yerushalayim. Let's see Rashi and the Mitzudos. Pasuk Ches, V'Yadayin Kimat Rega Lefi Shah, a fleeting moment. Techina, Kemo Chanina. Now we always say about Esav. Esav Halacha B'Yodeinu, Esav Sone Yaakov. But at that moment, Nechmor Rachmav. Esav, when he met Yaakov, he kissed him. He kissed Yaakov. So Chazal says, Halacha B'yodeinu Esav Son Yaakov. Ella Be'osasha. At that moment, he had Rachamim. Every time we find ourselves in Golas, where Goyim are good to us, we have good relations with the Goyim, we have to acknowledge, it's just Be'osasha. It's a fleeting moment. Don't think that this is going to be forever. Halacha biyadenu esav sona Yaakov. That's the status quo. That's the default. It's good. The government is good to the Jewish people. They give money. They do this. They do that. It's ba'osa shah. And that's what he's saying over here. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kind to us. We're servants. We are in Golis. We are under the control, the authority of the Persians. However, Hashem was good to us. L'hashel gave us kim'at rega. Nechmaru rachamav ba'osa shah. Don't take it for granted. The moment we'll leave, that's what it says here in the Rega, and that's how Rashi is coming to Lefi Shah. Techinik Mochanina, grace. For law says Lanu Yosed, a peg, Likavoya Uso, Boritz Beritz, so Yosed Kamo. Utekaasiv Yosei Bimokom Ne'eman. This is the name of the paper, the newspaper. Yosei Ne'eman. Yated Ne'eman. I don't know grammar. We have any grammarians here? But someone told me that this the paper should be called Yosei Ne'eman. It's a big mistake. Whoever made the name of the paper was, I don't know if this is true. Cause I'm not bucking it in these things. Yosei should be. It should be feminine. So why did they write Yosei Ne'eman? Because they took this pasuk. They took this pasuk. Utiko asiv. Hashem put. Let me just tell you what the word. Utiko asiv means Hashem. He pitched. He pitched the Beis Hamikdash. This pasuk is being borrowed from Yeshaya. Ezra obviously was influenced by Yeshaya. Usikotiv Yosei b'mokom Ne'eman. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is going to pitch the tent, the Beis Hamikdash, a peg in a place that's faithful. In this pasuk, the word Ne'eman is coming to modify Mokom. Mokom is Zohar. So Ne'eman is Zohar. Ne'eman modifies the word Mokom. But Yosed, according to what we have to study, if it's really true, really in Tanakh, is Nekeva. If it's Nekeva, then if you just want to borrow this pasuk and you want to say Yosed, it should be Yosed Ne'emanah. Not Yosei Ne'eman. So this is a contraction of two words of a pasuk which really do not go together. It's not a kasha. It's not really such a strong kasha, but okay, but whatever. But it's interesting to know where everything comes from. Coming from the pasuk. But we have over here this pasuk. So Rashi is telling us that Ezra is borrowing from Yeshaya, and the Beis Hamikdash is called Yosei Michya Maat Chayim Muatim, a small amount of life. Kevodim Anachnu Pasuk Tes, we are slaves. L'dayovish Melech Paras Loi Azavanu Loi Ozav Oisanu Hashem did not abandon us. Vayet loshen mafil, causative. Hashem caused k'mo imate hat hita oleinu chastoy. Hashem caused that His kindness be turned towards us. Geder. Next words are Rashi. Shall you goydim geder lishmar mitzvayisav? So Rashi, this is like typical, like a medrash, that the geder is not the Beis Hamikdash is not a secular Zionism, that we are an independent state and we are one, just one of the 70 nations with our own flag and own customs. The geder, the fence, the wall that protects Klal Yisrael is a geder lishmar mitzvayisav. This, the Klal Yisrael has a wall around it. Has autonomy, it's separate, it's apart from the nations of the world, is only for the purpose of Lishmar Mitzvoisav. Let's see the Mitzvah Pasik Ches Kimat Rega. Me'at hazman hoyu lonu chanina mehashem. Hu b'loshen she'elo u'melitza. It's a borrowed expression. Al ki hagu'ula hahi kitanahi. So the word Kimat Rega is a borrowed expression. It's the gu'ula, according to the Mitzudos, is very, very small. It's not what I had in mind. I had in mind a large scale redemption. The entire Klal Yisrael will come here to Eretz Yisrael. It's not exactly what happened. It's just very small. Yosed kivua, kivuos, pegs that are established where? Birushalayim ki yosed hakivua, like a peg that is attached to the ground. Michim at chayim. Hakavua. Okay, maybe you're right. Like I told you, I don't know.
Excuse me.
The person who told me this is a pretty big baki. The person, a Brieger from Tarvadas. He wrote svarim. He writes curriculum on diktuk. He knows quite a bit. So I got to go back to him. Next time I see him, I got to discuss this with him. What?
It's dot. Then it
The Mishkan may have been called a tent, but the Mikdash is not a tent, it's a structure. Rav Schwab says the word, if not Rav Schwab or others said, I remember who says that the reason why Ezra here is employing the word Yosid is a very important point. It's like he said, his optimism is suddenly just dissipates. That the geula is a small geula. It's this powerful expression kimat rega, and it's a yosed. Yosed is a term that is miyuchid for a tent, not a real permanent structure, a real permanent binyan. Let's finish with the Rashi. Nichya ma'at chayim ma'at and beis avdasim the small land of life during our servitude ki avodim adayin avodim anachnu l'malchei paras. This is the story of the Megillah. Why don't we sing Shira? Purim is coming up. Why don't we sing Shira on, say, Hallel on Purim? Adayin Avdei Achashverosh Anan. We are still the servants. We are still under the influence, under the authority of the nations of the world. Ki avod madayin avodim anachnu l'malchei paras. Avol ba'av, avol. Nevertheless, be'av du seinu, despite the fact that we are servants, lo ya'azovonu mikol b'chol Hashem, did not completely abandon us. As we mentioned, Rav Schwab says, this was perhaps the reason why the Jewish people, in large, did not want to make aliyah. They did not believe in the geula, because they felt a geula shlema cannot come through a secular government. If it's really going to be the time of Mashiach, it has to come through a government that's 100% under a Torah government. And that, it was a big mistake. Klal Yisrael were not roy, they were not deserving. I think it's even a grah. The grah, I think if I'm not mistaken, the grah says that the geula ha'asida, if we're not roy, is going to come again just like it came during Ezra. It's going to come through the nations of the world. And I mean, you have to be blind not to realize that Eretz Yisrael, the whole process of Eretz Yisrael, Bezman Hazeh, the state of Israel, is all to a certain degree a repeat of what has happened during the time of Ezra, and the same opposition from those that don't believe in the state of Israel. And how can this be the Aschalt of the Geula, but it's being sanctioned by the United Nations and by secular Zionists and by people who don't believe in Torah and so on and so forth? That's the way it was in the time of Ezra to a large degree. Ezra, who is giving permission? Koresh. Koresh is not a Jew. And then we have Achashverosh and we have Daryavesh. These are not Jewish people. On the front door of the Beis HaMikdash, there was a plaque. There was an eagle. And it said, Shahar Shushan Habira. This Beis HaMikdash was built by the government of Persia. The Eretz Yisrael today was built by, I mean, today Baruch Hashem becoming more and more independent, the economy of Eretz Yisrael is thriving, but at the beginning, the Klal Yisrael, the state of Israel, the very beginning, was paid for by other countries. We all know that to be true. You see parallels between the two. Yeah, what do you want to say? You want to say something? Okay, let's go finish up over here. That's a debate. Was he Jewish? Was he really the biological son of Esau? That's debatable. Hashem has rebuilt, has given us the ability to rebuild the ruins of this structure. So the Mitzudas here is not like Rashi. You see a different approach. Is that independence. Hashem has granted us a degree of autonomy. We have a God there. We have a wall around our state. We are independent. We are a nation apart. Not like Rashi. Don't step on us. We're separate. Nothing religious. You have to deal with that approach that the Goyim don't appreciate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You got to relate to them on their terms. When they look at another nation, they look at another nation. Do you have your own constitution? Do you have your own army? Do you have your own government? Do you have your own economy? So on their terms, we are a nation apart. We for ourselves have to build ourselves up spiritually according to the traditions of Klal Yisrael. But there is both. Klal Yisrael, on one hand, is one of the nations of the United Nations. On the other hand, Klal Yisrael internally has its Torah. And you see that between Rashi and the Mitzvahs. Rashi says, what is the Geder? Geder here means autonomy. We're separate. Am levadad yishka. What does that mean? It means we're one of many nations. There's the world and there's us. We're also a nation. That's really what the Mitzvah is saying. Lios gedudim misaviv. We're separate. L'bal niya olamir mos lakol. Don't step on us. We have independence. On the other hand, Rashi says, no, that's not the issue. So you goidrim geder lishmor mitzvah. The state is just an opportunity to be mekayim the mitzvahs of the Torah. Opportunities that you did not have in Golis. Okay, we'll stop here. Okay, let's do some inyanim on the parsha.